The text is the gospel reading. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Here ends our text. This is Good Shepherd Sunday, and it's not for nothing that I have Good Shepherd in lowercase in the sermon title. Though this Sunday is a favorite of many, it is appreciated by few. I thought poet E.E. Cummings, though dead for over 50 years, might help. For a variety of reasons, Cummings was considered the black sheep of poetry. What you probably remember is that he didn't always capitalize the first-person pronoun, I. Hence, Good Shepherd in the sermon title. A good poet can tell you things in an unexpected way. Let this black sheep tell you of your Good Shepherd. Let him tell you of Jesus laying down his life. That's the insert's translation. It sounds so genteel. It's not. Literally, Jesus says, "I place my soul, life, self on behalf of, as a substitute for, in place of sheep." Though I don't wish to bring gambling images to mind, Jesus' words have the definitive action of placing a bet, and that bet being all in. This Sunday brings to mind green pastures, still waters, lacking nothing. But that's not the feel of our text. Normally, each sentence in Greek begins with a particle or conjunction. Here, they are absent. This denotes the intensity with which Jesus is speaking. This is not genteel. This is Gethsemane. This is bloody. This is sweaty. This is begging for the Father to find another way to save you. This is Jesus saying to his arresters, torturers, and eventual crucifiers, "Take me, let these go." Jesus laying down his life in place of yours is him being hit in the face when you deserve to be slapped. It's him being whipped to within an inch of his life because of what you have or have not done with your life. It's him being abandoned by all God's grace, all God's mercy, all God's peace, so you could have all of them. This is E.E. Cummings. In his mid-teens, he had a dog. Rex was all his. Followed him everywhere. Went wild only when he came home. Slept on his bed and growled if anyone entered. One day, crossing a lake in a boat with Rex and his younger sister, the boat turned over. His sister and he managed to each grab a floating box. Rex, a large bull terrier, tried to swim for shore. But then he turned back. In the middle of the lake, there was nothing for Rex to do but paddle. His strength failing, he climbs on the box his sister is clinging to. Rex does this by climbing over her and pushing her underwater. Twice Rex does this, and twice his sister sputters to the surface, barely. The third time Rex tries, Cummings grabs his beloved dog by the neck and shoves him underwater. Till the dog stops struggling. That's heartrending, isn't it? No one wants to put down a sick dog, let alone a healthy one. Yet, why doesn't Jesus' words move us? All the pathos, all the sacrifice, all the heartache, all the redemption in Cummings' story is found in Jesus laying down his life in place of sheep. We're the sister in the lake of sin, clinging to our pathetic excuses for what we are and our pathetic excuses for what we are and our lame promises to do better next time. But we're surely going to drown and die in this lake. The father is E.E. Cummings. Rex is his beloved son. Of course, Jesus did not push our heads under the waves of sin. Of course, Jesus wasn't trying to save himself at our expense, though in Gethsemane he asked for another way to save us other than sacrificing himself. It was the Father's will that his best, most loved son die so you might live. And rather than his father having to hold his head under to breathe in that last great dust of death, Jesus put his head down willingly and died. Enough about the laying down. Let E.E. Cummings tell you about the taking up. Sounds like no big deal when Jesus says, I lay down my life and I take it up again. But taking up indicates that sin, death, and the devil have no more claim on Jesus. They can't stop him from taking up the life he put down. This proves, as Jesus says, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to take it up again. Jesus died because God had promised that any person who ever sinned would die. And the devil day and night said, you promised, these sinners must die for their sins. God sent his only son into the Virgin Mary's womb to do this in our place. Having no sins of his own because he kept all God's laws perfectly, Jesus could die in place of all sinners. So burdened with the guilt of all, Jesus went to the death that all sinners deserve, and he died it to the fullest. He left no law unkept, no sin unpaid for. But being true God, he could take up his life again anytime he wanted. With no more sins left to be paid for, the devil couldn't demand any more dying was needed. So Jesus rose. How can E.E. Cummings teach us about Jesus taking up his life again? Well, Cummings never had another dog. And one way or another, he was never the same again. Trauma can do that to you, usually in a bad way. But may the trauma that the good shepherd willingly suffered make us never the same again, in a good way. Well, what does that look like? I can tell you what it doesn't look like. Since Jesus died under the curse of unkept laws, it doesn't look like you walking around the rest of your life with unkept laws heavy on your back. It doesn't look like you hearing, do this, don't do that, when Jesus rose from the dead proclaiming, done. The good shepherd willingly placing his life in place of yours and taking it up again doesn't look like paintings of Judas, Pilate, or Barabbas, with their faces marred by guilt and haunted by shame. Let me illustrate. After all Jesus sacrificed to save you, after being gifted with all this salvation, you walking around with a face marred by shame and haunted by guilt would be like Cummings' sister walking about wan, white, and drowned. Cummings drowned his beloved Rex so she could live out her days in love and laughter, not so she might mourn what her brother had done to save her. When you wake up singing, I've been baptized into Christ, I'm a child of paradise. When you come from communion humming, thousand thanks shall be. When you refuse to be enticed by the devil into feeling bad, let alone guilt for the sins Jesus died for, then you take up the life Jesus meant for you to have. We're not done yet. Cummings can tell us more. Let him tell us of not only the laying down, not only the taking up, but of the knowing. Four times in two verses, we have Jesus speaking of knowing. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Greek word Jesus uses is the same Greek word the Greek translation of the Old Testament uses to translate in Adam knew his wife. This is the most intimate, personal knowing there is. English doesn't have a variety of words for knowing. Saying to someone in disgust, "I know that," means something very different than saying with delight, surprise, warmth, "I know you." Back to Cummings. He had two failed marriages, having a daughter with his second wife. She was raised purposefully by the mother to be the daughter of her current husband. Although up to the age of 10, she saw Cummings on and off, she never saw him for more than an hour, never unsupervised, and was never told that he was her real father. 20 years go by without them meeting. She marries and has two kids of her own. The family she is married into has a summer house down the road from Cummings' summer house. For 4 years, his daughter and her family get together on and off with the Cummings and his girlfriend. This relationship even carries over to the winters back in New York, yet still, nothing is revealed. Finally, almost by happenstance, Cummings tells her, and she knows. Now all that had been out of focus or only dimly seen bursts into view. She sees all that she knew without ever being told. The similarity in looks is striking and literally as plain as the noses on their face. Now their commonality of likes and dislikes, of temperament, of artistry, of poetry come flooding in and make sense. At the point where Cummings makes the startling revelation, he is famous. He is known all over the world, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad, but he is known. Now this 34-year-old woman who thinks her father has died some years back is told that this famous person knows her and always has as his own beloved daughter. Cue the orchestra, fireworks, and see her struggle to get her head around it. Honestly, have you ever appreciated Jesus' intense, moving words here? "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." The insert adds the word sheep. It's not there in the Greek. And without that, the knowing is more intense. The New American Standard has, "I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." Deep calls to deep. As deeply as God the Father knows God the Son, so deep does Jesus know his own, you. He calls, "Come unto me, all you are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And you echo, "Yes, I am laden and burdened and in need of rest." He calls, "Confess your sins, and I am faithful and just and will forgive them." And you echo, "I confess." He calls, "Take, eat, take, drink, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with all the grace, mercy, and peace you can eat." And we eat his body and drink his blood, knowing that we have all that he has promised. When I was in Lutheran grade school, a big deal was made of how pronouns referring to God were always to be capitalized. You know, that has gone by the wayside, especially when referring to Jesus. All lowercase for our God and Savior now. Not for us. He is uppercase I. We, with E.E. Cummings, are lowercase I's. Why? Because it all starts and ends with what Jesus does. It's his laying down his life to pick up sinners that redeems us. It's his taking up his life again that gives us life. It's his knowing of us that counts and changes everything. Imagine that. The God of all creation knows little old me. I should say, I. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.